us. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, Galatians chapter 2. We all got our little light in the Lord. When we come together, it makes a big old fire. I believe that. Amen. It's good to have each one that can make it to the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. I feel a little lopsided for some reason, just like I should be leaning over this way or something. Now you saw a poke over here, but that's all right. Good to see each one here. Amen. Remember that I'll be preaching Wednesday. Today's Sunday, right? Yeah. That's teacher in the summer for you right there. But I'll be preaching this Wednesday, but next Sunday, it'll be Brother Alexander. I won't be here for that service. But Wednesday, the following Wednesday, Brother Alexander will be preaching again, but I will be here for that one. So keep that in prayer. Galatians 2:15. Continue here in the book of Galatians. We are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ as a minister of sin? God forbid. For I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. For a topic today, I'd like to speak on our death ends God's frustration. Let me say that one more time. Our death ends God's frustration. Let's bow our heads together. Each one, your heads bowed to the Lord now. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up as we approach the Word? Say, Father, I know the Word is the only thing that can help me. And I'm trusting you now. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here amongst us, Lord. We look up and know our redemption is nigh, and we're so grateful to feel your Spirit still here close to us, Father. To know you, Lord, not as a thought or an imagination, but as the God of heaven, the Lord of glory.
Hallelujah.
And you're my Father, Lord. You're my friend. You're my husband, Lord. You're my all in all, Lord. And every Christian can say the same thing. Without you, Lord, there's nothing worth doing. There's no reason to live. There's not even a reason. If you weren't here in this service, Lord, there's no reason to come today to church. But you promised, Lord, that if two or three would gather in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would be here, Lord. And we're thankful to feel your presence again. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just move through our lives. Father, we know that time is near. May every little black thing of unbelief that's crept into our lives, let the Holy Spirit come and just shine the gospel all over us, Lord. That we just denounce all those things. We doubt our doubts, Lord, and believe your word with all our hearts. Help us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Heal our sicknesses as you promised, Lord. Let joy, love, and peace fill the children of God's heart. May they be ready, Lord, when Satan would come and tempt them after the service and throughout the week, Lord. May something happen in this service that would plant into their hearts by the word, Lord, and it would keep them in the grace of God. We pray, Lord, for the needs of the people, Lord. You know what they are. And I pray, Lord, that you fulfill those needs according to your word. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our death ends God's frustration. Being a Christian, you know, it's always a back and forth, it seems like. If Satan isn't pushing you, he's pulling you. If he ain't tugging you, he's dropping you. If he ain't going left, he's trying to make you go right and in all sorts of directions, because we've learned, especially through the message, that there's only one way that's right. There's not two or three. There's not detours on the path to God. It doesn't work that way. If you make a detour, you're going to have to go right back to where you left him. That's all there is to it. There's no him getting you back on over here and letting you get away with this. No, you're going to have to go all the way back to where you left him, and that's where you'll find him again. Isn't that what Brother Branham said? That's right. Spiritual amnesia, and we're subject to that if we allow it. It can happen to us just the same. We can the Galatians here that we've been talking about. If you haven't been listening to those services or things, I challenge you to go do so. I'm going to have to lose this right now. I'm sorry. I don't know why I wear it at that point, but that's okay. I know why I wear it. I do to respect the house of God. You know, and that's right. But the Word of God is first. Hallelujah. The Galatians problem the whole time is what Paul is starting to get into now. They had started out, they believed what Paul had preached, they trusted the grace of God, they knew that God had become flesh and died for their sins. But after a while, after Paul's influence began to get challenged, Paul's authority began to get challenged by certain voices. When that got into the church, what began to happen is they left the grace of God and started going on to a form of religion, a Nicolaitan system. And then they started having rules that you had to do this and you had to do that. And if you're not a Jew, you better get circumcised because you're not going to make it. And we all got to wear blue on this day and purple on this day. And if we don't do this, and if you go to pick out your Kool-Aid, you better know how to say it to the Lord, because He don't like red. He wants purple. And stuff like that. And bless God, if you eat on a Wednesday, you're backslid, because we always fast on Wednesdays. I think it's a good thing, but don't make a religion out of it. See that, and that you think it's harmless and things, but if you begin to base your experience on anything that you do, anything, if your salvation is based on anything you've ever done, you're not saved. Your salvation has one resting place. That's the Word of God, which pointed that no man is justified by the law. No man is worthy. The voice cried out, "Find me a man. Find me a man that can take the book out of my hand." And they looked. They looked under the earth. They sure didn't find nobody down there. They looked on the earth, couldn't find nobody there. They looked through heaven and couldn't find somebody. And I believe Brother Brandon was standing there too. I believe you and I were standing there. I believe Paul was standing there. As far as the man part goes, no man could take that book out of his hand. But then a man came where they couldn't find him because they were looking all around. He was in the throne. The man in the throne came off, became flesh, turned around, and took the book from the hand that sat on there. And he opened up the seals, and our names were locked in back there. That's all right. That's all right. Glory to God. And these Galatians had believed that, but all it took was a little thought that, well, bless God, we've got that. And Brother Branham said, this is how it goes. You get the Word of God, and God pours out a revival pure of grace, and everybody's having a great time. Everybody's led by the Spirit, no forms, no rituals. And then all of a sudden, we've got to protect this revival because we might lose it. We've got to make sure, oh, it's not my fault we didn't have a good service. God forbid. Brother over there, I know what he did. That's why we couldn't have a good church today. And there you go. Before you know it, you got this one's of Paul, this one's of Apollos, this one's this, this one believes this, and here we are. And then what in the world is the pastor supposed to figure himself out when he's got a congregation all going different directions? Hallelujah. I feel for many a man of God that has tried to stay with the Word. Brother Bram said the same thing, and chances are they'll get voted out in this age. That's right. There's a very few people, and we can say, and I hope to God, I'm not trying to kick nobody out, but I do know the message as a whole. We understand that every message has gone forth. It's got a whole group of people. Amen. And there's always all three kinds of believers brought in. But there are still the predestinated in there somewhere. And it's never in the majority, but we're not here to kick people out, not here to put nobody in. We're here to find ourselves if we're in the grace of God or not. That's right. And doing everything you can to help anyone else. But we know we have to accept the fact that people won't receive it. People, no matter how much Paul would preach, there was still, I'm sure, some that left the church and said, fine, if we're going to stick with what Paul says, I'm out of here. And they'll try it in this age to differentiate between Paul and Brother Branham. They will try hard to say that they preach something different. But God already declared it's the same message. I've watched them do it, and before you know it, they'll challenge Brother Branham on this, this, and this, this. You say, wait, Paul said this. Paul said this. It's in the Bible here. It's in here. And before you know it, they start denying you. I just think it's missed in translation a little bit. You know, we don't want to be too crazy or anything. We don't want to take it too literal because, you know, God's got grace. Yeah, this is the grace of God that I'm preaching today. And you can't. You begin to leave that, you go into disgrace. That's exactly right. So here's Paul coming to the Galatians in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of, Jesus Christ. This is where the Christian has got to find himself. You've got to find yourself in this position that God is not looking at your faith. He's not looking at your mental ability to hold to his word. He is looking for his faith in the believer. He's looking for what he predestinated from the foundation of the world. All of his attributes, he's looking to find one of those in your soul. That is what he's trying to find. Not your faith. Not the faith of the Galatians. Not the faith of this church, that church. The faith of his son. Jesus Christ put into you. He's looking for that. And if you have something that doesn't believe all the word, that questions the word, that says it might be right here, but I don't know about this. I think I can wear this. I think I can do this. I can say this. I can act this way. And it's not in the word. You don't have the right faith yet. Because Jesus never denied the word. Even when it wasn't popular. I'm sure Jesus thought, man, I could keep a... Or I'm sure the devil tempted him. We'll say it that way. That he could have kept his congregation if he just would have left his doctrine alone. But there came a day where he says, look, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And he said, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And most of us would have said, okay. You know, they had to come and say, well, they won't go after Jesus because they didn't understand. So they'll go after the disciples. I've seen that happen in churches. Too afraid to ask the pastor or somebody that might have studied out, but you'll go hound on somebody else with a praying spirit and say, what do you think about what he said? And I'm sure they came over to Peter and says, what do you think he meant by that? You know what Peter said? Don't know. They go over and say, you don't know, then why are you following him? Why are you following a man? You're just letting the blind lead you around, aren't you? You don't even understand this. I love it, though, but when you have the truth, it doesn't matter. That's right. Because Peter, he got, you remember, they all left, and he's looking at it, and I'm sure they were evaluating. They're down to 70 preachers at that point. Right. Then he turned around and says, well, what about you all out here now? You know, the ones that I've ordained and everything. Just because Brother Bram ordained somebody don't mean that they're elected now. Hallelujah, that's all right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But he looked at these 70. He says, what will you say when you see the Son of Man go back to the right hand of the Father where he came from? Right hand of the Father. We know where you were born. Uh-huh. You're down from that hillbilly church. You ain't got no credentials. You ain't been established in the message for 50 years. And all. I'm not just saying it. You understand the point. Jesus did not have the credentials we think he did like in this day. He didn't have years of schooling like we think we need to in the message today. God can't just call a man and then anoint him with the Spirit. He's got to learn. He's got to have an understanding. Oh, yeah, an understanding of neology. How to get in the presence of God and to hear from God. Not how to get into a book and just learn a bunch of doctrine. That's legalistic. This is relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Exactly right. Amen. And they questioned him and said, we can't do this. This is a hard saying. We're out of here. Right. And then Peter's still standing there. Some other apostles, they're all looking at each other. They had no clue what he was talking about. Right. And they looked at each other and said, guys, what's he talking about? I don't know. I don't know what he's getting at. I mean, we know where he was born. We talked to Mary. She's still around. Right. We know what happened his whole life. What's he getting at? How would they eat him? I don't know. Is he going to change into bread or something? They probably started some doctrine. Right. Well, I saw him take 2 loaves and 5 fishes and make stuff. Maybe he's going to do that with his arm or something. And they worked up some kind of doctrine. You think, oh, no, they didn't do that. Well, they did it later when he told Peter. He says, you know, what's going to happen? Peter said, what's going to happen to John? And he says, what if he tarried till I come? Right. Follow thou me. Yeah. And there went a good saying that says, guess John's not dying till Jesus comes back. Yeah. Right. Started a false doctrine right there. Goes to show, without the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to get it right. There's just no way about it. But praise God, there was still a seed in Peter. There was still belief in Peter that he couldn't get away from. When all of them left, Jesus looked at him and says, will you go also? And he looked around, he says, I don't know what's going on, I don't understand it, but there's only one thing. You have the words of eternal life, and I can't leave. I'm convinced I need to be you, Jesus. Give me people that are sold out to falling in love with Jesus than learning every quote in the book. They'll stay with the word, whether they understand or not, and God will honor them. That's right. It's by God's faith. I'm going to read you a few scriptures. Listen now. Habakkuk 2:2 says this. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. not he that may read that run, all right? You're supposed to know what you're doing first by a revelation spirit, then you go do it. Brother Bram said, too many times we try to do acts and then get in the spirit. No, you come in the spirit and then do the acts because you'll be led the right way. That's why we're supposed to get to church. That's why we're supposed to get prayed up. That's right. That's why we're supposed to be in the spirit before you get here, so you know what to do when you get here. And we appreciate the worship and things, and that's to help that, but too many times we bank on that. Well, bless God, we sing some good songs. I guess I'm just depressed today. Just not going to be able to do nothing for church. And you see what happens, you begin to fall into unbelief, and the first one that gets the short end of the stick is going to be Jesus, because here's all the worship you got for him today. Well, just no good. How about you get in the spirit and get free in Christ? And think of yourself of what you are, a son of God, that'll walk the streets of glory one day into a city that has one purpose, glorifying and praising the name of Jesus Christ. And you are built for that. And not where you built for that for then, you're built for it today. That the down payment's done been put in you, I think we can raise our hands sometimes. And I'll tell you, if you're fighting hard, that's the best time to praise God. That's right. If your knees are hurting, that's the time to stand. If your shoulders hurting, that's the time to raise them. If you're losing your voice, that's the time to shout praises. Amen. Woo! And really, I think a lot of people, they just got a revelation of treating God more important than they do their job. I think we get somewhere. You're always on time because you're afraid to get fired. If they want you in early, you'll be in early. If they want you to stay late, you'll stay late. They want you to do something you're not too comfortable with, you'll do it and you'll figure something out. Oh, but bless God, not in the house of God now. Can't do that. Got to stay with my former religion. No, we need to break all that down. Come back to the Word. What's the Word? What is the basis for everything we do in Christ? It's getting the Spirit. That's what it is. When it comes to church order, what are we trying to do in church order? It's so we can worship God more freely. So we can quit worrying about what my neighbor's doing and what time it is. And it's just me and Jesus. So when Jesus comes and he touches me with his word and it fills my heart, I can just raise my hands unconditionally and just wave them and say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. By his grace, he that may run that readeth it. Now let me keep reading. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. How many believes that? The word's come. I know it's been 50 years, but it will speak. Amen. California will sink. Amen. This nation will be nuked to nothingness. But this bride will be on the streets looking at a big banquet table with food all the way down. I don't know what we're eating, but it's good. Amen. We'll know. I don't know how it all work out, but we'll get out of here before it comes in. Hallelujah. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Amen. Because it will surely come. Yes, it will not tarry. It will not. Behold, his soul is lifted up, which is not... Excuse me. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. When you begin, whose faith? God's faith. The just should live by the faith of God. And if you begin to leave the faith of God and start working in your own faith, start working your own doctrine, you will leave the grace of God. You will become a legalist. There's nowhere else to go. That's the only path there is you will establish what you think is right. You'll do what they did in the book of Judges when they didn't have a prophet with the word. Amen. Well, I feel this way. I feel like this, and I feel like that. And then we all went on different tangents. But if we really want to be Christians, we'll come back to the same place. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Not thus saith Brother Andrew. Not even thus saith Brother Branham. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Romans 4:4 says this, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We believe too many times that God comes to justify the righteous. That God comes to save the ones that are already saved. But Jesus already done told us, they that aren't sick don't need a physician. Amen. They that are lost sure don't need a Savior. And if you think somehow you're going to make it out of this world without the grace of God, my friend, I hate to break it to you, you are the most miserable person on the planet. I had a young man who told me one time and said, well, I don't think I'm all that bad. I said, you are in one poor shape, son. You ain't got a chance. He just looked at me and says, well, I don't know. No, that's the point. It doesn't matter what you say after that. It's that you've convinced yourself that you are okay the way you are right now. And I knew the boy was a sinner, running around, getting a girl pregnant, things like that. It's just worldly things. But it's the same when it creeps into the church. When you see a man's life that can't follow up with the word, there's something wrong. And we could go and say, well, I did this because of this. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's excuses. There's no excuses. God's grace is so powerful, we got no more room for excuse. That's right. I've got nothing in my breath to do but to exalt the grace of God. And how do I do that in my life? It makes me tote to this word. It brings me to church. It brings me to my Bible. It gets me in my prayer closet. It gets me praising the Lord all times. Even if it don't even come out of my mouth, I can pour it out through my heart, right in the job, whatever I'm doing. I can still think, Jesus, thank you.
Amen.
But I do think sometimes we just let it boil in too much. We just might as well let it out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But how many believes on Jesus that justifies us ungodly?
Amen.
That's right. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand how powerful this grace is?
Amen.
See, you understand how powerful this faith is. Your faith cannot get you out of sin.
Amen.
Your faith can never, if you'll be honest and try to use your intellectual faith to make yourself righteous, you will never make it.
Right.
You might have a little faith to say, well, I kicked the TV out. Yeah, you did. What'd Christ do?
Right.
Little faith, well, I don't swear no more. I don't drink no more. I don't cut my hair no more. I do this, and then what happens? But I told a little lie the other day. I stole God's time today. Wasted it. And you come falling back down in that pit of sin again. But the faith of Jesus Christ knew you from eternity. He knew every bad thought you'd ever have. He knew every sin you'd ever did. And his faith pushed right through that. Said, Satan say, I know they're an adulterer. His faith said, I don't care. Pushed through there. I know they murdered. I don't care. And his faith reached all the way into there. Pushed right through everything. And he found that seed. And he could pull it out. And Satan kept trying to say, but they're not worthy. He said, I don't care. I will pull them out.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And he grabbed that seed out of that muck through God's faith.
Oh, blessed be your name, Father.
That faith, that's such a power. All that black had done got on there. He was able to find some bleach and dunk it into his own blood and pull it out again. And it was clean.
Yes.
But it still couldn't do nothing. It needed power. But God's faith said, that's all right. By my spirit. Say, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And he said, he gave his spirit, poured it out. And there it came. A son of God. The only faith that can get you to not be a sinner is the faith that made the worlds.
Amen.
It's the faith that made you in the first place.
Amen.
You all know the scripture, that's right. Let me see if I can find it. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How? So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Amen.
And we want God to do it different in our lives. Jesus said, he that's born of the Spirit is just like the wind coming through. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going. All you know is it pushed the tree over.
Woo!
Hallelujah. And all you know is that gravestone that was put there that says, Andrew Crestle died on this day. But right next to it, you'll see a living Christ.
Amen.
Resurrected again. Remember, don't forget what I titled this, Our Death Will End God's Frustration.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I just got to exalt God's faith for a little bit here. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Not what he does, not what he doesn't does, not what he is, but his faith in believing the word, God accounts that for righteousness because it's the same faith he had.
Amen.
It's exactly right. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Do you know when God gave you the Holy Ghost, it was absolute proof to you that you are clean.
Amen.
He's not an unholy ghost. He's a Holy Ghost. And if he ain't going to dwell in something, that's going to make him an unholy ghost. So if you think you're still your soul is still unholy, then you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Because it has to be cleansed or he can't come in.
Right.
That's right. I want you to turn to this one, Ephesians 2. It's a simple verse. I'm sure you've seen it, but we got to read it. I'm preaching up, I guess, today. I'm getting it all out now since I'm going to get two services off. I think that's what it is. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. Excuse me. Let's just read at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. I'm going to stop there. You can't skip that part. By grace are you saved, but it comes through the channel of faith. We think that God's grace is he just, let me say it like this. It goes both hands. Your free moral agency and God's predestination are the exact same revelation. That's right. If you get a revelation of God's predestination, it will show that your free moral agency matches the Word of God. Amen. That's right. You can't claim one and not the other. They will go hand in hand. Hallelujah. For by grace, God picked us by grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's God chose you. You didn't choose Him. Jesus already told us that. You never came to me. I found you. You never chose me. I chose you. You never wrote down my name. I wrote yours down. That's right. But the only way that that grace can be extended to the believer is through faith. But look at this faith. I just got done telling you, it's not yours. In yourself. It's not intellectual faith. It's not saying I believe in my mind. This is literally the faith of God. Yes. Watch. Read the rest of the verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So let me ask you something. If I'm going to give a gift, now I'm going to give you, I got this almost drink water bottle. I'm going to give this to Sister Violet as a gift. Now if she hands me any money, is this a gift? If she even asked for it, really, is it a gift? No, I have to give it. I have to give it. But she has to have the faith to take it from my hand. But whose was it before that? If I'm giving it as a gift, it was mine. So here's God with faith. And it says it's not faith of yourself, it's the gift of God. So for in order God to give it to you, it had to be His faith first. So you're saved by the faith of God. Not by what you believe, but by His gift of His own faith giving it to you. It's absolutely the Word of God. Let me read you some quotes here. Faith is our victory. 1958. What's the difference of you standing there or sitting where you're at? But it's going to take some faith to do that. It's going to take your faith plus my faith with God's faith. Now listen, mix it together and my faith and your faith will fade out. And God's faith will become predominant and the works will be done. That's what it takes, Christian friend. It ain't about you mustering up and doing all this and stressing. That's why Brother Branham said over and over again, relax, relax. Don't try to force yourself into it. Just believe it. Get to the place where you're so convinced when you come up for prayer, I am not leaving sick. God's promised I'm doing this. God said this. And if He can raise a dead man that's been dead 4 days, how much more can He come touch this body that's still alive? Amen. If God could save Mary Magdalene in the act of adultery, how much more can He find me? If God could love a man that took another man, killed him in battle, stole his wife, slept with her and had a baby, and still say that's a man after my own heart, He can save me. Hallelujah. That's how things get done. That's when you find a preacher that knows how to pray for the sick, because he ain't basing on his faith. He ain't basing on your faith. It's basing on we believe that God's faith is here. And what God said that He would purge all of our sins, I believe it. When He said in the Bible, come on now, that if we're sick and we don't know why, we don't know what's going on, come forward. Let the elders anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Amen. But see, you've got to come with that. God wrote that. God wrote that word for me. He knew that that would happen here in 2015, so He needed that promise sitting there in the Word to come to pass today. Amen. And that's why when you come forward, it's not you mustering up something. It's that God has given it to you. You believe it, and you apply it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I hope it's plain to you because It's a revelation. It really is. Faith is a revelation. It's not something you can think up in your mind. It's the grace of God to you. That is how God shows us His grace, by producing a life in us that can believe the Word. That's His grace to you. Hallelujah. Faith is works expressed. 65. And He promised you the same thing. That is, if you could believe that, it would happen. If you can't believe it, it just won't happen. It ain't the preacher's fault. It ain't the church's fault. If you don't believe it, that's it. You're not going to get nothing from God. That's right. I've seen people have that kind of attitude. Well, I went to church and I did this and I did that. Yeah, you did, you did, you did, you did. And that's why you got nothing, 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 nothing. Hallelujah. If you can't believe it, it just won't happen. Now, I can't make you believe. Well, bless God, if that pastor's really called the Lord, he'll be able to make me believe. Here's the prophet of God saying, I can't make you believe it. I can show you your life. I can tell you your name. I can say where you live. But I can't make you believe the promise of God. That's why the gift was given. That's what the Messiah sign was for, to show us that Jesus Christ was here. And if you can get a revelation that He's here today, you can have anything you want. You can, because He promised it to you. Healing is the children's bread. It's what we eat every day. Hallelujah. And not this stuff that we eat here in America. It's the Word of God. It's the bread of life. Hallelujah. Now, I can't make you believe. Neither can you make yourself believe. God has got to give it to you. It is a gift of God to believe. Not your faith, God's faith. Your intellectual faith might believe it, fine. But unless the faith of God is down in your heart. See, your intellectual faith can accept it, do that. And just keep believing it with all your heart until God does reveal it to you, see? Just keep believing it until God does reveal it. And I've never seen God fail a soul that sought Him in faith. The problem is, a lot of people seek God in doubt, expecting God to have faith in. But you've got to come with the faith of God that I don't care. It says, by His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. I don't feel no different. By His stripes I'm healed. If all I got in my mind is that by His stripes I'm healed, if you will stick with that and believe it and confess it, God will bring His faith on the scene. And you'll see that word come off, and then, hey, by His faith I am healed. That's right. By His stripes, I am healed. You can read Acts 2:38 all day. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And maybe you've been doing that forever and ever and ever and saying it. But it takes God one day to quicken that thing. And then all of a sudden you'll know your life is not the same. How, Brother Andrew? By you dying. And that's where many people check out of the gospel. Rich young ruler came one time to Jesus. He came to the right man. He came at a very opportune time. He was a young man. And I think Brother Branham says it like that, or something like some. I forget what percentage, like 80% or something of converts are usually, you know, in their 20s or less. You know, he came at the right time. He came at the right age. He came to the right person, and he asked the right question. But he didn't come with faith. Right. So when he asked Jesus the question, "How do I inherit eternal life?" He says, "Well, if you really want to have eternal life, keep the commandments." Jesus didn't lie. He said, keep the commandments. He said, I have. You know, I didn't murder. I've honored my father and mother. I've done all these things. But yet he knew, what do I lack yet? He says, well, if you will be perfect. You know, he told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. It's possible to walk before God perfect. He said, if you'll be perfect, go take all you have, go sell it, give it to the poor, and come follow the Word. Amen. Come follow me. See, some people think, well, I can do all these things, and I did all this, I did what God told me. Yeah, but then you go and follow Him after that. A lot of people, you know, in Moses' time, they needed the blood. And they say, praise God, I've got a pure lamb. This is the one. Well, that's the start, but that's not what God wanted. You've only got on, I've got the Word, I've got the quotes, brother, but where's the life? And then they'll come to revival, right? And they'll take the lamb and they'll kill and they'll get the blood and they'll have a good emotional experience and it'll be genuine repentance. But yet, instead of taking the blood and doing what the Word said, which was put it all over the door, get it all over your life, identify with this Word, kick the filth of the world out, like me. You know, you women clean up, you men clean up. Act like a Christian. Come believe in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. Act like you're supposed to. Get that blood all over.
Amen.
Instead, they say, well, I think I'll just keep this here. This little thing of the world, that's okay, ain't no big deal. I was probably just getting a little worked up there at the camp or at that special meeting or at that service that one day. That's probably all it was. I was just getting a little excited, and here it comes. Blood never got to the door.
Right.
Death angel still killed you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's time for us to die. I mean, not. And Brother Branham said it like this, die and then rot.
Yeah.
Don't resurrect him. Don't bring him back up. Don't even think about him. Let him rot away. Let him, don't even, yeah, once you look at the tombstone, go ahead and kick the thing down and forget all about it. You've got a new life in Christ today. Hallelujah. So what, excuse me, we think a lot of times of good and bad is kind of like a plus and minus. It's kind of like our income and our debts, right? I do all this good and then I make a mistake here, but if I come out even, I'm all right with God. Or you got a certain money amount, a certain amount of good works that you'd have to have on this side to outweigh this, then you're good with God. It don't work like that at all. You're either good with God or you're not.
Right.
Yep. I always love that. And I'm just preaching today, if that's all right. If I just get a few little amens, that's okay, because it's still the Word of God anyhow. That's right. I remember this one little video clip they had of these people coming up with their resumes to the angel, and the good old meter, I think is what it called. And they got on the good old meter, and they, you know, have all these things that they've done, good or bad. And they always had a big red folder of all these bad things they've done. So they'd get on there, and it, bonk, you know, not good enough. Not good enough. And there was this guy come up. He had given to missions. He had made houses for the poor and done all these things. But he never really accepted Christ as a Savior. So he got up there with that whole resume of things, and guess what? Bonk. Nothing. And then they brought up a man who had a big old thick red folder. Filled all kinds of things he'd done wrong. Right when the angel said, hey, or he said, okay. And he went to go step up there. The angel stopped him and said, no, not you. And Jesus came. Jesus got up on the thing and it said, good enough. That's exactly what Christ has done for us. Isn't that what we just read there? Let me go back to Galatians real quick. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. And it seems so simple. But what happens is, what's this next verse? Why is this next verse right after that? He says, look, I got the most glorious thing that's ever happened. I just tore down all your legalism. I've got the faith of God, the Son of God. It's been poured into my heart. And though I live, yet it's not me. It's not my flesh. It's not Romans 7. You read over there. It's Romans 8.
Amen.
There's no more condemnation because I walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because it's not me, it's the Spirit of Christ that's living out of me. Yet because I'm one of Him, though I'm dead to the flesh, I'm alive to God.
Amen.
Though I'm dead to the law, I'm alive to live to God now.
Amen.
But right after this, why is this verse here? I do not frustrate the grace of God. And what a thing to think. If you are God and you're the Almighty and you know everything, it would have to take something pretty strong to frustrate you. Well, there's one thing that really frustrates God. Do you want to know what it is? It's very simple. It's unbelief.
Uh-huh.
And that sounds like a very simple answer, but let me give you a few examples. You got your Bibles today. Let's turn there. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to go to Mark, and then we'll go to... Got another Mark and Matthew and Luke. I got a few stories I want to read here. And here we go. Very similar situation. A rich young ruler coming to the right people, but they didn't come in the right attitude. Mark 8:11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. God help us, Christians, friend. If God didn't promise you a certain sign that you're wanting from God, don't plan on him doing it. I've seen too many people base things on that. Look, you follow God because you love Him. You follow God because the Holy Ghost is telling you it's okay. And that's how God, I mean, maybe it's just me in some regards, but usually it's the no answer that I hear a lot faster than yes. He'll tell me no like no other. I don't know how to explain it, but if it's wrong, I know whoo. Slow it down. But if I don't feel that, I believe in faith, you ought to keep going forward with whatever what God wants you to do. If He wants you to have a new job, if He wants you to do this, even if you go to a different church or different, live a different house or whatever. I'm just saying examples, giving new car, get you a new place. What if you'll just keep leaving that there, Lord, is this your will? And take a step. And if it's comfortable, and you know, and I'm talking, you got to have the Spirit though. That's the point. If you're trying to use this up here, it ain't gonna work. I know the devil's playing up some really good pictures for me, but I just knew there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. I remember when we first went to buy a house, we had an accepted offer on a house and everything, and I just couldn't get over it. There's something, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And we had a house inspection. And praise God, they found some stuff wrong with that house that could have been dangerous. Now they went and fixed it and everything else, but I knew that was my road out. And God knew that was going to happen. And shortly thereafter, you know, God rest his soul, because I believe I'll see him again. But my grandpa passed and I ended up buying his house. You know, for a lot better deal, a lot better situation, everything else. So just trust the Lord. I could have said, but this is a good house. This is that. Don't do that. Something check me. Turn around. That's right. Just the time I was thinking. And sometimes discernment's right. We just don't accept it. Can I just be honest? There's a girl I wanted to talk to, and I was thinking about going where she was and things. And I was trying to transfer to school and all that kind of stuff. And figuring out, well, and I knew the whole time, there's just something not adding up here. I don't know what it is. My dad got talking to my grandpa about it and telling him that I was thinking about doing this. And before he knew it, shortly thereafter, my grandpa came to my dad and said, tell Andrew if he just stays here, I'll pay for the rest of his college. Okay. I'll take that as the Lord. That's right. And sometimes it's right in your faith. And I've just seen too many people do that stuff. I don't want to say it. It's not looking for signs, but God will show you these things. Just be real basic. If something's getting you away from God, it's not from God. If something's getting you out of church and getting you out from reading the Word, that's not God. I don't care how you rationalize it. It isn't of God. If something's making you doubt the Word, it's not God. Thus saith the Lord. I mean, what do you want? It's plainer than day. And you that's got the Holy Ghost, don't even lie. You know when you're checked.
Amen. Right.
You don't need me to tell you.
Right.
Where in the world am I? All right, Matt, that's right, Mark 8. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Can you see this? Here's Jesus coming, and they say, you know, and they come and we think they're asking the right thing. Master, if you're the Messiah, would you shoot a lightning bolt right now through the sky?
Sure.
You know what he did? Seriously. I bet that's exactly how he had. You got to be kidding me. I just raised the dead. I just cast out devils. And you want some special thing happen. How many times have you seen people come to the message that way? Well, this is really of God. Bless God. I told God to do this. What are you telling God to do for? Why don't you do what God told you to do? Whew. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them. You only get so many chances to believe the Word of God. And if you try to just flow with the crowd and you're hiding doubt in your heart, this Messiah will find it out.
Amen.
And he'll have to leave you one day.
Right.
They wanted a sign. And why did he sigh? He said, there's no promise in the Word for you to receive a sign like that. But you will receive one sign. The one that in Isaiah said will come. We'll give you a sign. The Son of God will come. He'll be born of a virgin. You'll get the sign of Jonas the prophet. When as he was in the belly of the earth for 3 days, 3 nights, so will the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that's the only sign you get. And the sign in this age was Malachi 4.
Right.
I'll send you Elijah the prophet, and if I don't, I've cursed the world.
That's right.
Luke 17:30, when you see the Son of Man reveal himself, you know it's the end time.
Amen.
And people say, well, God, you know, I know you gave me the cloud and the pillar of fire, and you've let the pillar of fire be seen in church, the cloud and things like that, but I didn't get to do that. Why didn't I get it? Why did everybody else get to do that? I didn't get to be with Brother Branham. Why? How's that fair? You know what you're doing? You're frustrating the grace of God.
Amen.
God already done did it. How long does a healing last until it's not supernatural anymore? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If God healed you today, you'd believe his word.
Right.
But how come 5 years from now, all of a sudden, we don't believe it anymore?
Right.
You know, Lazarus raised from the dead. He was dead 4 days. How many still believes that? How much more excited would we be if that happened yesterday? It goes to show you we need a revelation that this God is always the same. The same God that walked the shores of Galilee lives in the heart of every believer that's got the Holy Ghost. And it's the same faith. He said, I can't call a man dead 4 days. No, you can't, but he can. And he lives in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't frustrate his grace by doubting his word.
Amen.
Asking for things that he just said, you'll not be given a sign. It's not in the word.
That's right.
Mark 7. Go back again. 7:31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hands upon him. And it sounds good, but you know what they're doing? They're begging him to do it. Saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. I don't mean to be like, excuse me. Oh, but doing an action of unbelief is what it was. They're trying to beg of God. Why are you trying to beg somebody that's trying to ram a gift to you so hard that if you only could put all the water in the world on one little pinhole, that's the amount of pressure he's trying to do. And people act like God's just, you just won't give me the Holy Ghost. No, God wants you to have the Holy Ghost so bad. He came on earth. He died for you. He gave his life. He cleansed you. He sent the Holy Ghost. He sent the word to get the Holy Ghost back to you.
Amen.
He wants you to have it. Now listen. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looked up to heaven, and looking up to heaven, he sighed with the same thing again. How long do I got to do this stuff? How long do I have? See, you know, he could have just said, look, be healed. If they had came the right way, he could have done that. The faith of the Son of God would have done that. He did it for a Gentile. But he said, no, come lay hands on him. Do something we can watch so we know that it's really going to work. So he made it, I think he did it to kind of be, I don't know how to make it look ridiculous. Let's take some mud, I'm going to spit on it, and I'm going to put it on this guy's ears. He'll still get healed, but this is just so you know, that this will work because it has nothing to do with any of that. How many, you really think that mud has something special to do? It's the Messiah did it.
Yeah. That's right.
That's what he was trying to point him to. But he'll come the way you ask.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hallelujah. I just love the Lord today. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spit, touched his tongue, looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Go to Matthew 17 now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And if we take the interpretation of how many people think we ought to handle the word of God in this day, he'd be like, well, boys, good job. At least you tried. At least you got there and prayed. When you know, you're calling up the pastor and say, Brother Andrew, can you come here 5 hours away and pray for this person? Because no, you pray for them.
Yeah.
You have faith. You believe. You're a disciple too.
Yeah.
I actually heard of a minister one time doing that to somebody. He said, you do it. I ain't going to do it right now. It's like 2 a.m, you know. Hallelujah. But Jesus, his answer in the word now, Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. His disciples standing there failed his word. He said, go heal the sick and cast out devils. Do these things. And they couldn't do it. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And we think casting out devils is this big old thing in production. We got to do all these rituals and stuff. And they'd probably try that. I'm sure the disciples said, well, we tried praying. That didn't work. We got some mud and put on him. That didn't work. He's still crazy. When really the whole time they were scared in their heart to believe the word of God. They didn't think, this kid's a lunatic. I've seen people do that. I've seen them get scared of somebody that's crazy and starts frothing and things. They get all worked up. What are you getting worked up about? We're the sons of God.
Amen.
We're the daughters of God. I've got Jesus Christ. And he looked at a lunatic and says, and they were saying, don't torture us to the Messiah. And what did Jesus do? He said, just bring him here. He bring him here. He brought the man. He was crazy. He's probably frothing. He just, I rebuke you, Satan. And he walked away. Oh, hallelujah. Give me people that believe the word. That's right. Let me just keep reading just to show you the rebuke. He doesn't just, God loves us. That's the thing. He really loves us. And he loves us like a father would. Not like grandpa does. I never met one grandpa that kept the standard with their grandchildren that they had with their kids. It just ain't never happened. And it's God's testimony that he ain't no grandpa. He's our father. And we will tote to the same word. He came to the disciples. The disciples came to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, because of your unbelief. Oh, no, brother. It's got to be harder than that. I was believing. No, you weren't. Yeah, I was. I believe this message. No. That's fine. You can say all that you want up here. The action that you did up here at the altar while you're still sick shows you don't believe. Amen. You've been to the altar 50 times to get the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you. You just don't believe yet. Amen. That's all there is to it. You say, well, I did this, I did that. It doesn't matter. The faith of God produces the works of God. Amen. Works is faith expressed. It doesn't justify you that you do the works. All it does is show what life is in you. And at this time, these disciples, though they had power, he said, I give you power to cast out devils. Yet with no faith, the power did them no good. And we think God will change his program for us. Give me the power, Lord. No, give you the faith. Like Brother Neville said, a lot of times people say they need more faith. No, the thing of it is, we just need to get faith. Because of what I'm just about to read right here. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Woo, glory. Do I have to read the next verse? We got to preach on that one too. There is a level of sincerity. The more the word that's been given to you, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Why? You've got to be in the right condition to tackle devils. That's right. If you're feeding on the things of the world and stuff, don't go approach no devils. Until you'll be scared. Oh yeah, you will. But if you know who you are, and you receive the grace of God, and you're living in the Word of God, not as works to salvation. Do we understand the difference here? I feel like we're trying to combine those. No, it's not. Your works follow your faith. Not your faith follows your works. That's what it is. You've got to believe until the works happen in your life.
Amen.
That's right. Luke 8. And then I'm going to try to wrap this up here. Luke 8. 20. You enjoying it this afternoon?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I just realized Brother Austin back there. What's going on? I'm going to have to get him. Luke 8, 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now listen right there. As simple as that commandment was, that was a promise of the Messiah. Let us go over to the other side.
Amen.
See, it's so simple, yet it's so powerful. If they just would have believed that, they would have never gotten to this mess that they're about to get into. Listen now. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, one little line, where's your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered. That's right. Saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. Are you seeing the picture now? God gave them a promise. Jesus Christ said, go, pitch this tent or this boat, we'll go on the other side. And he was so, the Messiah had the faith of the Son of God, right? His faith let him go in the middle of a storm.
Sure.
Oh, glory to God. Give me people that can sleep in the promise of God in the midst of cancer. In the midst of death, in the midst of people in prison and bars and you know getting divorced and all this mess of the world that's gotten to our churches, hold to that promise that God said, my seed will come.
Amen.
Hold to that promise that the bride is predestinated. You don't come to this message by accident. Jesus, I love it. They came and they just said, Master, we perish. And I've seen people come from prayer. Oh, it's just so terrible. It's so awful. It's just such a hard thing in my life. And I just can't do it. You're coming with a bunch of unbelief. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say, I understand. No, he said, where is your faith? Where did it go? When you bring a request to God, I challenge you one time to not complain about it. I challenge you one time to speak the promise before you speak the problem. Come on, try that one time. By faith I'm healed.
Amen.
That's right. By faith I'm saved.
Amen.
By faith my children's saved.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Wasn't a 10-page Bible study. He wasn't upset that they didn't understand. He was upset that they couldn't believe. But at the same time, do you know that Jesus knew why they didn't believe? He told them. He said, when the Spirit has come, though, the Comforter, He will lead and guide you in all truth. Jesus, the Messiah, said, it's better that I leave you. Because right now you're stuck in this condition where though you're hearing the Word every day, though you've got the walking Word right next to you, though He sleeps in the same boat you do, though He goes to your church, though He is your deacon or your pastor or your friend, He needs to get in you.
Amen.
And if I don't become the sacrifice, Jesus, if I don't become the Messiah sign, if I don't go die and raise on the third day so that you can be cleansed for the Holy Ghost to come into you, it'll do you no good.
Amen.
But when He has come, how many believe He's come?
Amen.
And He's not dead. He didn't die 2,000 years ago. He's here tonight, or today, rather. He's here. And what did He promise to do? I will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Amen.
How many times did John say He did this and then, well, we figured it out later. Why He did this. The zeal of thine house is eating it up. That's what, remember He whipped them out of the temple and they're like, we don't know what He's doing. But He said, after they got the Holy Ghost, they looked back, oh, zeal of God was in that man. That's right. There's others. Go read the book of John. Every once in a while, John will stop and say, yeah, He did that, but now we know why, because of this. And you say, well, He did all these signs, but He did that we might believe He's the Son of God. And no man has seen God at any time, but the Son has declared Him. That's right. Hallelujah. Let me read you. I'm just going to wait for a minute here. Paul said back there, he says, nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And then he said, right after that, don't frustrate the grace of God. What frustrates the grace of God is unbelief. What does unbelief show? You're still alive. Because if you die, and you're still moving in the flesh, there's only one person can be alive. Satan don't have any life. Do we understand that? So if you've died and crucified with Christ, yet you live, there's got to be somebody living in you.
Right.
And that's Jesus.
Amen.
If you're frustrating God, if He's getting upset with you, I'm telling you, the only reason is because you're still alive. You still got your own thoughts about stuff. You still got your own ideas. You still compromise. Well, I know Brother Bram said we all not to speed, and if you know man's out there being reckless, it's premeditated murder, but I don't think it's wrong to go 2, 3, 4, 5 over. It's okay. Cops won't pull you over for that. I ain't worried about no cop pulling me over. I'm worried about what God thinks.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can cheat on your taxes, and chances are us people around here don't make enough money for them to really want to come after us, so they're not going to get a whole lot out of us. Ooh, man.
Amen.
Woo! We might be not claiming all our wages or something. I'm going to have to just give this a second. But God knows what numbers you put down.
Amen.
You making mistakes, one thing, but God knows if you know. And I think if we would just know that God knows, we'd make the right decisions. That's what Brother Bram said. You can never sin until you don't think you're in the presence of God anymore. Because if you think He's here, and you know He's watching, and you know who He is, changes things. It's a little bit more than just the pastor seeing you, if it's God seeing you. Now let me read you this. Adoption, I love this quote. Fourth part, 1960. Tell a dead man he's a hypocrite and see what happens. Kick him on the side and say, you old hypocrite, you. He'll not say a word. And that's right. He'll just lay there. And a man that's dead in Christ, you can call him a hypocrite, call him anything you want to. He'll never rise up about it. If anything, he'll slip off somewhere and pray for you. That's right. But oh, some of them's very much alive. That's what I think about. We're supposed to bury dead people. Them that's dead in Christ, we bury them in water. Sometimes we bury too many people that's alive. too much malice, strife, and there's too much in the church. But we can't separate that. But God does. He knows His people. He knows His sheep. He knows every voice. He knows His children. He knows who He called out, who we can call out. He knows who He's predestinated. He knows who He's given these things to, what He's making Himself known through. God can put confidence in His children on what to do, knowing that they will do it exactly. You believe God does that? How can He do that? Because He knows you died. You in the flesh, that's why Paul said, I know no man. We don't know anybody after the flesh anymore. Because if a man's in Christ, his flesh is going away. What does that mean? A lot of times people get upset over little quirks people have with personality and different behaviors and things. But there's no word saying one way or the other. And we'll split off about that stuff. Sure. Well, bless God, don't they know you're supposed to take shoes off before you come in the house? I don't know. Is that your rules? You didn't tell me? I don't care. You might care. And some people think, well, that's just real rude and everything. We're getting quiet real fast. But I'm here to tell you, there ain't no word telling you one thing or another. How about this one? What do they get on Jesus about? Your disciples are over there eating with dirty hands. Glory to God. That's His word. And He said, what about you all? Don't you know you need to clean the inside first and then worry about the outside? He said, eating with dirty hands don't matter. But having a heart full of malice and guile and bitterness, that's trouble. Can we handle that? Can we handle a hobo off the street, ain't take a bath in 3 weeks, come sit down, or are you going to sit there and complain that he smells? We're getting real quiet real quick. But Lazarus was on the side begging. There's a lot of people just go ahead and stepped on all over him, didn't they? Every one was that rich young ruler. Stepped right over him, couldn't even give him a dime time of day. He was too busy. He's too busy, he had to get to church. No. Oh, I heard that thing. Some of y'all think you can skip church for stuff. I don't believe that. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he was the bishop, and you know he had to do all these responsibilities. He had no time to think of a beggar on the street. That's what I'm getting at. No, and I believe if you're led of the Spirit, you'll be in church. I believe that with all my heart. I don't. God lets us do things, but there's days we can do it. That's right. I think a couple hours a week to the Lord is all right. You give all that other time to work, and we think, oh no, but we can. We've got about 4 hours we give to God in church. We got 40 we give to the world. We ain't compromising that 40 for nothing. But we can compromise that 4. If I got to do this, I got to do that. Just ain't got no time for church today. Getting quiet, that's all right. Brother Branham said, I don't care if you miss a day's work, you'll be all right, but don't miss Sunday school. You want me to be wishy-washy, you got the wrong pastor. I died. You're looking for Brother Andrew, he ain't here. He's gone. Word's here. And that's what the Word said. I don't care if 50 years ago, it's still true. It's more true now. Amen. That's right. We got less excuse because we've had more word to give, more word come to pass. That's right. The things that the prophet of God even said would happen are happening all around us. Yep. One more scripture. I'm going to close here. Go to Romans 6. I'm going to ask again. You still enjoying the word?
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 6. We all aware that Romans and Galatians were written by the same man. Amen. Same revelation.
Yeah.
He just said we're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But then he also says this here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as have been baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How did Jesus Christ prove He was the Messiah? Is that He physically died, but in 3 days He physically rose again. How does God show it in your lives? Is that you were dead in sin and trespasses. You act like everyone else, but when Christ came, that man died, and you were risen again to walk in a new life. Walking here in faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. And God has restored you to be a son of God just like Adam.
Amen.
You don't have to limit yourself. You're dead. That flesh man ain't around no more.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
And He's alive forevermore.
Sure.
And He's come to show His resurrection in me that I walk in a newness of life. Don't you love meeting somebody that knew you before you're a Christian? And they look at you and say, what in the, who are you? You're right. You're not meeting the same person. That man died.
Amen.
Glory to God. Remember what we're preaching on. Our death will end God's frustration. Yep. Let me show you. We'll finish it right here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
Not he that's alive. He that is dead, buried, gone. Why? Because now the penalty of sin has been fulfilled. If you die to your sins, if you die to your life, like we said in baptism, what are you doing? You're identifying in Christ's death, which we know by predestination you are already there anyways. But for you to be there, you have to meet the water here. There's no getting around it. For you to say you were there in Christ, believe in the word there means you got to believe it.
Amen.
That's right. And you're not going to go some other way. You're dead from your own thoughts. You're dead from your own religions. You're dead from your own theologies.
Right.
If there's no word for it, just leave it alone.
Amen.
We've had that come through here. I'm just preaching this afternoon. That's all right. We've had those thoughts come here. I think we ought to do this. I think we ought to say this. I think it's wrong for us to do that. Our fellowship ought to be this way or it ain't of God. And if we don't do it like this, it's just wrong. We ought to be like this. Well, then you be the example.
Yeah.
I always love hearing that. We should talk about Christ more at fellowships. Why don't you say nothing about Him? We should have gifts in the church. Where's yours? Let him that, how does he say it? Paul said, let him acknowledge that the things I've written are the commandments of the Lord. That's right, that this isn't no man. Paul was dead, but what he was given the church were the commandments of the Lord. We've got to die today, Christian friends. And I'm here to tell you, your faith can resurrect your old man, but praise God, God already saw you. He saw you before the foundation of the world. He put the faith of God in you. Do not frustrate His grace any longer by disbelieving Him. By getting wishy-washy about it. I've seen it. I've seen it too many times. All it does is creep in, and you hear me hitting about speeding and missing church and things, but I've seen every backslidden life start that way.
Amen.
Every single one. It starts in some little thing they compromise on. Not because, and look, if it was just something I said or something, but it's them. They know it's wrong. And they step over their own conviction. And once you've done that, you have allowed Satan to creep in. And it's just like any other leak. I don't care how, you know, my house has had a gas leak in. I don't care how small it is. If you leave it go, who knows what could happen. It's very much like a gas leak in your experience. It's just a little thing. It's still, you might not, I didn't even, anybody smell it in my house? Some of you did a little bit, but kind of go, and it was pretty faint. And you know, normally when you have a gas leak, everybody's like, what in the world? What is this? We're getting out of here. You know, but it was a little bit more miscue than that. But that's how sin is. It'll creep in just enough. And unless you got a trained nose. Some of you almost have that. But the Holy Ghost is our training. He'll sniff out sin. That you might not, you say your brother don't notice it. Doesn't matter.
Right.
My pastor don't notice it. That don't matter either.
Right.
I'm not your Holy Ghost. He is. That's right. God never asked a pastor to be the church's Holy Ghost. He's asked him to be the shepherd and help guide and lead and go the right way. But I can't be the one to follow you around. He's the shepherd now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that little bit, it get through there, and all it has to do is leak just enough. And what'll do it? Some kind of revival or things. You watch it, false doctrine start in revivals. They do. It's a gas leak somewhere. And the fire of God came. Poof! Blows up the grace of God. Before you know it, we have to jump and shout, or we didn't have church today. Or a lot of message churches, we have to sit here and just look at the wall. And if anybody gets excited, oh, you're Pentecostal.
Right.
You know, you don't have to look at me like that. You all know.
Amen.
That's how a lot of people handle. Somebody stand up in church, praise the Lord anymore. What's he doing? Don't you know we're supposed to just sit here and wait? No. Huh. We're here to worship the Lord.
Yes,
and if you have a hard time worshiping, I'm here to tell you what's the problem. You're alive.
Uh-huh.
The flesh doesn't like the things of God.
Right.
It cannot come subject to the things of God. You understand that? Even God can't tame it. He kills it.
Right.
God don't tame our flesh. He just kills it off. Why did the Son of God come? To destroy the works of the flesh. What he said, I read it there somewhere. Let me see if I can find it again. I know I read something that just said that. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So you know what conversion is that old man, that old red, he's gone. The resurrection was the seed of God, the faith of God in you. That is what God was after, and this other guy got tacked on. So he took off that temporary part to show the eternal.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's worship and praise Him. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Just die out to your flesh right now and just start praising. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, God, I don't want you to be frustrating me. I want you to be happy. I just want to lift your name.
Praise
you are
God.
Thee, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus. I love
yes,
you,
Lord
Jesus.
Jesus. Praise.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Give me a seat, Dad.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This chorus, or this, I'm going to sing this verse. Y'all know the chorus for sure. Hallelujah. Just listen. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me and calls me away. The faith of the Son of God. I can look up without ashamed, without grief, without being ashamed anymore because the blood, I believe, washed me. I've accepted the grace. I'm not doubting the word. Lord, I'm looking at my home. I'm looking towards that banquet table I'm going to soon. I believe your grace. And Christian friend, if you don't have it, cry out for it now. Say, Lord, I need the grace of God. I need the grace of God. I need the faith to hold to the grace of God. And I can't make myself do it, Lord. I need your touch. I need you, Lord. I need just the gift of God. And I don't know if I have it. I felt like I have. I felt like I have it. But Lord, can you give me revelation today? Can you give me a rock solid revelation? I'm a son of God. And I'll be careful to praise you for it, Lord. I'll be careful to lift all my voice to you, all my hands, all my life to you, Lord, in appreciations. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing the chorus again as we worship Him.
Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me.
That's this day.
There will be.
Thank you, Lord.
In the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. I see.
Yes, Lord.
There will be.